Hello and welcome to My Mom's Basement and a very special Friday bonus edition of My Mom's Basement on a Thursday. We're dropping this a little earlier because we had Dana White in studio today in the office, Barstool HQ, Barstool HQ V3. He actually hasn't been to this one, so we took him on a tour of the office after this interview, but I knew that everyone would want this audio immediately as we advertised it, so I figured, fuck it, let's put it out a few hours early. Here is a 26-minute sit-down with Dana White in studio where we go over everything you want to hear about in mixed martial arts right now. I mean, we talked about it all. We talked about Conor. We talked about UFC 244 and Jorge Masvidal versus Nate Diaz and the baddest motherfucker in the game championship. We talked about so much. Before I throw it over, though, as always, if you're not subscribed already, I would really appreciate it if you did and left us a rating and review, a good one preferably. It really does help out the show, and we appreciate it greatly. On Monday, we will be back with Adam Cole, an interview that Jared Carabas and I conducted in studio as well, and Stipe Miocic and John Volante. They came in together. We chopped it up. That was also a great time. That will be out on Monday. I'm looking forward to you guys hearing it, but I'm looking forward to you guys hearing this Dana White interview even more. So here we go. All right, welcome back to the show. I am joined by a very special guest, my favorite guest to have on this podcast, the very guest. And now he's back for the third time on the show. We actually did a Best of Dana White episode as well. We got all your clips together and put them together. You're here to talk about UFC 244. You got the press conference today at Pier 17.
Yep.
And the main event, Jorge Masvidal versus Nate Diaz, is one of the best fights you guys have put together in a long time, I think.
And I agree, and I'd love to take credit for it, but it's one of those fights that just happened, you know?
Yeah.
In this sport, if you asked me a year ago, if I would make that fight and I would make it a main event and I would main event it at MSG, I'd have told you you're nuts.
With no title on the line, you know, no official title at least. We'll talk about that in a bit, trust me.
The BMF title.
The BMF title, the baddest motherfucker on the planet.
Yeah.
This is what this title is, you know, you said you're making an actual title as well?
It's the baddest motherfucker in the game.
Baddest motherfucker in the game, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And you guys are making a physical title?
The belt is being made right now. I will present the belt to the media the week of the fight here in New York.
Amazing. Yeah. And I assume you've seen The Rock's tweet. The Rock wants to strap it around Masvidal if he is the winner.
So I'm going to tell you this. I haven't had response from sponsors, celebs, and anything like this since Maymac.
That's insane. And what does that say to you in terms of, you know, you said a year ago you would never imagine that this would be the fight main eventing at Madison Square Garden, especially with no title on the line. But Masvidal and Diaz a little more than Masvidal because of the Conor McGregor stuff.
Yep.
Masvidal has been around for 14 years, and all of a sudden he's one of the biggest stars in the sport.
He exploded. I was just telling a story with the matchmakers the other day. I saw Masvidal the first time that I really noticed him, I'm like, this kid's got talent. This kid's going to be good.
And when was that? Do you remember?
And then he lost on Fight to the Troops. You know, he would come out and look really good and then look bad, then look good, then look bad. You know, he had one of those type of careers. And I don't know what happened to him where, you know, if it's as he gets older and you look at the opportunity, the window closing and, you know, how much more time do I have left in the sport or what it is that went on in his head. But the Till fight, you know, and obviously the Ben Askren fight, you know, blew this kid up, and he won both fights spectacularly, and it put him in this position for this big fight.
So you have the baddest motherfucker in the game championship on the line. You'll present it to the media. Have you seen the design of the title?
Mm-hmm.
Is it awesome?
I designed it.
You designed it. So you were involved.
I didn't sit down at a computer. Sat down with my design team, and we came up with the BMF belt.
Do you have any other, you know, maybe out-of-the-box theatrics planned for UFC 244 in terms of, you know, you've never done this before, The Rock wants involved, everything like this. You did some stuff for UFC 189 back in the day with entrances. Is there anything else planned for the Garden?
Not right now. Off the top of my head, I don't have anything yet, but we haven't got into that yet. You know, tickets go on sale today. This is just tickets on sale, and then we really won't start mapping out the show till we get closer to it.
Okay, so a guy that you know I have to ask you about is Conor McGregor. He's been in the news a lot this week specifically. He fired off that tweet. He said, Dublin, December 14th. Nobody really knew what it meant, and then all of a sudden rumors started coming out of Irish tabloids that this was in reference to a boxing match with Luke Keeler, an Irish boxer that apparently called McGregor, and they got into some beef. Is there any truth to that?
No. That's.
Have you heard that?
No.
You hadn't even heard that rumor?
No. that's total bullshit. But
so when Connor tweets December 14th.
So what Connor means, you know what December 14th is, right?
You guys have UFC in Vegas.
It's the Las Vegas show.
Correct.
He wants it in Dublin.
So could that happen?
No.
Could you move that show?
No, that show can't move.
Why not?
Because it can't. I can't take a show out of Vegas that's already booked and move it to Dublin. Can't do it.
All right, fair. I thought
Vegas is already set for that fight, and we owe Vegas a fight
because you moved the Jones fight to California.
We have so many a year that we do in Vegas. So and we don't have our New Year's show anymore. So
okay,
that's going to be our last big show for Vegas. So
you're planning on still adding to that card. You know, we already have a title fight on that card with Amanda Nunes defending her title, but you're looking to add more to that, maybe another title fight?
Like three title fights on that card.
Wow. And, yeah. And is there a possibility
that card,
we
that
see Connor
card
on that
is going to be ridiculous.
Is there
great
a possibility
card.
We see Connor?
No.
No possibility for December 14th.
I should never say never.
Did you hear from Connor after the Gaethje fight, I assume? Is that the fight Connor wants, Justin Gaethje?
No, but I asked Connor, I hit Connor up after and asked him what he wants.
Okay.
And he hit me back with December 14th.
In Dublin.
Dublin.
And you hit him back with not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. We can move on from Connor. I appreciate you taking the time and answering those questions, especially about the Luke Keeler stuff. I really didn't know where that was coming from. I'm glad that is not the case.
I've never even... Who is Luke Keeler?
So the rumor that came out of The Sun, a bunch of tabloids in Ireland were reporting that after the video came out of McGregor assaulting that man in the bar, Luke Keeler, a boxer, trashed him publicly. McGregor called him, and Luke Keeler supposedly got him to agree to a fight on the phone. That would take place in Dublin on December 14th. That's what's being reported all over the Irish tabloids right now.
That is such bullshit. Connor, no way.
Well, I'm glad that we got it straight from the source. It's not happening.
What a good job that guy did of getting his name out there.
Yeah, really,
good
right?
For him.
In Connor's division, we got Khabib as the champ. He just put on an unbelievable performance in Abu Dhabi against Dustin Poirier. The fans want to see Tony Ferguson as the fight for Khabib. I assume you want to see that fight. You've tried to book it so many times. Is that next?
That is the fight that we want to do next. We'll see how this thing plays out. You know, Tony's been in position for a couple of opportunities, but couldn't take him at that time. So if everything works out, then yeah.
Did you happen to catch the what Jeremy Stephens said about training with Tony Ferguson?
No.
So they trained together, and this week Jeremy Stephens came out and started talking about, you know, Tony has all these weird training methods.
Right.
And we finally got someone on the inside talking about it, and Stephens said they would train for 7 hours straight, going balls to the wall, the most insane championship training he's ever seen, he said. And then they would stop and watch Rocky IV, and then they would just do it again. He's obsessed with watching Rocky IV. I think it's because he's trying to, like, build it up, being like, I'm about to face a Russian. I don't know, though, but that's how Tony Ferguson is.
No, that sounds very Tony Ferguson to me.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And the heavyweight division
I prefer Rocky III, though.
Oh, really? Is that your favorite Rocky?
I'm a Rocky III guy, yeah.
You go Rocky III over Rocky I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Oh,
yeah.
Big Clubber Lang guy.
Clubber Lang.
Thunder Lips, too.
Oh, yeah. The whole movie. Whole movie's great.
I love it. In the heavyweight division, we just also had Stipe Miocic. He's in the office. And I was asking him about who he would like to fight next, you know, what he would want next. Stipe gave me very Stipe answers. I don't care whoever they put in front of me. Do you have any plans for the heavyweight division? Obviously, have you heard from Cormier? Do you expect Cormier to retire? Do you expect Cormier to return?
Yeah, Stipe is recovering from that fight. He's got some, you know,
yeah.
He's got some bumps and bangs from that fight. So we're waiting for him to heal. And yeah, we're going to do the trilogy.
Okay, awesome. Do you have any time frame in mind for that, or you're just waiting for them to heal?
It's going
to
depend on Stipe's, yeah.
But that physical. Is, in your mind, DC versus Miocic is next.
Yes.
I love that. I love that fight. The both fights I thought were incredible.
So good.
Even the second one. This will go down as, I think, one of the better heavyweight trilogies in MMA, if not the greatest.
The best. Yeah, tell me one that's better than that.
Yeah, I couldn't. Another division. The last division that I'm actually going to have to ask you about is the flyweight division. I ask you about it every time I interview you. What's going on with Triple C right now? Have you heard from him? I know he had some injuries to his arm, and he was going to rehab, but it looks like he's been, like, traveling the world and not rehabbing, and he's saying he wants to fight in March now instead of December. I know that you wanted to see Joe Benavidez versus Henry Cejudo. I would love to see that fight as well. So
that
you have
fight
an update
will
on that?
Happen. That will happen when he's healthy.
Would you say that is next for Henry?
Yeah. Unless
Aljamain or anything
like that. Unless
he
walks away from the belt, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love to hear that. And then let's move on to some business stuff. We talked about Zuffa boxing last time. You said, we'll hear more about it in the fall. We're approaching the fall. Are you ready to unload maybe an announcement date or anything else?
Yeah, I don't have the date for the announcement yet, but it'll be in October. We'll hold a press conference and we'll get it rolling.
So I assume you've been paying attention to boxing a lot more since you started going into Zuffa boxing. What are the main things from the sport that you feel that you'll be able to improve upon?
I've talked about boxing more in the last 3 months than I have in the last 20 years. You know, I'm not saying that I'm the guy that's, you know, I'm smarter than all these other guys. I'm going to come out and I'm going to fix it. But what I am saying is that I know that the system is broken and it needs to be fixed. And I think that I have a lot of good ideas on how to fix it. And, you know, everybody's telling me, yeah, he thinks he can do this and he thinks he can do that. He can't do this and he can't do that. But people have been telling me that for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, when do you stop doubting me and what I'm able to do? So once I get my guy in place in October, I'm going to sit down and he and I are going to, you know, probably have a week or two of just straight planning, figuring out how we do this. How I have a lot of respect for this guy.
Yep.
This is why I brought this guy in. And I truly believe that when you put me, this guy that I'm putting in place, and Ari all on the same team, there's no way we don't do this.
So you've mentioned this mystery figure a ton in the you know, recent weeks and stuff. Are we to believe that he will be taking care of more of the day-to-day operations of Zuffa Boxing than you will? You'll
100%.
Still be 100%, you know, committed to the UFC.
Exactly.
Okay. Here's a weird question. I don't know if you've ever gotten this before, but I'm interested in how the UFC handles their social media highlights and stuff like that. And I feel like it's changed a little bit since you guys went to ESPN. I see more finishes, at least, on Twitter, on Facebook. Do you ever pay attention to the analytics of, like, the NBA, for example, is a free-for-all? You know, anyone could post NBA clips, and they see the most growth by far out of any sporting promotion. So do you look at that, and do you ever think, why don't we let people post more clips instead of taking them down? What is your thought process behind
that? It depends on what your deal is. It depends on what your deal is with a network. And obviously, you know, we're in business with the leader in sports. So, you know, they have rights to a lot of this stuff. But ESPN has been incredibly flexible and great partners in working on lots of different stuff, you know, because we're testing the waters, you know, with a lot of different things. First of all, the whole subscription thing is new.
Yep.
Social media is still growing and getting bigger and pretty much new too. So, you know, we're trying a lot of things together and figuring out how we can work together and not only help build their platforms and what they're working on, but continue to build our brand and help sport grow.
So from your point of view, would you, like, if let's say the ESPN, the whole deal, if nobody's telling you what to do,
but
would you rather see more people posting?
I'm going to tell you the difference about the NBA and us. Okay?
Well, you guys are on pay-per-view. I know that.
Well, not even that. There's one. You can use that. The other difference between us and the NBA is nobody sits down and watches a basketball game again after it's over. It's not like you keep replaying that like we do our fights. So there's a ton of value in our library and in our fights, and I would say that our library is more valuable than the NBA's.
True. I hadn't even considered that yet.
Yeah, so for us to just let anybody take the clips, ESPN owns those rights.
Yeah.
You know? And they replay those fights on TV, and they pull big numbers. So we can't just let people run around.
I feel you there. I just wanted to see from your perspective what, you know, I'd never heard anyone from the UFC necessarily talk about the sharing and rights issues. And then here's the last thing I want to talk to you about business-wise. You teased that you would like to co-own an NFL team one day. Do you have any time frame as to when you want to do that? Or is that just a kind of dream that you're like, someday down the line, I'd like to do that?
No, it's definitely going to happen. But that's
like there are wheels in motion?
Well, we have spun the wheels on some things and it didn't work out. So if it didn't work out, it wasn't meant to be. Timing wasn't right. The thing that's always happened for me and the Fertitta brothers is timing has always been perfect on everything that we've ever done together. And I won't be owning any NFL teams without the Fertittas. So that's their passion. It's what they love to do. And I love rolling with them. So when the right deal comes and it happens, we'll get it done.
All right, I can't wait to see it. I've said forever that if you were in front of an NFL team and if you were you giving your regular Dana White press conferences, it would spice that league up. It would be something. Let's loosen up now. Well, we talked enough about Dana White, the businessman. Let's talk about Dana White, the person. I got a few questions for you that I don't know about you personally. Okay. That I'm like, I'd like to figure it out.
All right.
You got a night off. Nothing to do. Oh, what shit. What are you deciding? What do you want to do?
Well, the only thing I care about doing is hanging out with my kids. So if I'm not working or whatever, I'm hanging out with my kids. But my kids are now getting to the age where they don't want to hang out with me as much as they used to.
Yeah.
You know, they're 17 and 18 and my little girl is 13. So when they're out doing their thing, I probably go play cards.
You play blackjack?
Yeah, I'm a
blackjack's your number one game, right? I mean, we talked about it in the tour. You're shutting down casinos. They're telling you, don't come back. We don't want you.
Yeah.
Your sons are both boxing or just one?
No, just the younger one, Aiden. Aiden boxes and Dana plays football. I actually fly home tonight after the press conference, and then tomorrow I fly to California for his game.
That's awesome. So I assume that's also a big thing that, you know, you're always with your sons in their sports, you know, in boxing and football, if you can be.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah. I love it.
My
daughter plays volleyball, which I go to every game, too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and they're really good, so it's fun to watch them play volleyball. They're at that age now where volleys go on for, like, you know, 2.5, 3-minute volleys,
yeah.
And then it's actually really fun.
Definitely.
I enjoy it.
That was, like, my favorite thing to do in high school, is go to wrestling meets and go to volleyball games. It was awesome.
And my daughter's good, so it's fun to watch.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite meal, if you're just picking a meal?
I would say my favorite meal is... it's Italian food. I like Italian and I like
going chicken parm.
I like raviolis and pie. I like any kind of pasta.
All right. Go to drink.
My go to drink.
You like a beer drinker? Or you?
Yeah, I'm a beer guy. Listen, I used to be the hard liquor. I'm too fucking old for hard liquor now, man. That shit kicks my ass for like 3 days. I used to drink vodka, and now I can't even do it anymore. Now I got to drink like the sissy. Low carb, fucking, you know, zero carb beer. I'm like the Michelob Ultra.
When Connor's passing you shots of proper 12 on stage, you take it where you're just like, oh, that just ruined my stomach. I'm done for the day.
So I don't like whiskey. I don't like whiskey. And I'm not just saying this. Everybody thinks I, you know, kiss Connor's ass so much.
People say that about me too. It's crazy.
But how do you not love Connor McGregor? You know what I mean?
How do you not?
You know, he's made a few mistakes here in the last year, but the kid's awesome. And but his proper 12 is good.
Yeah,
it's good. It tastes
good. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not a whiskey guy, but I like his whiskey. The day he gave it to me, I liked it. So Jack Daniels, you know Fireball?
Yes.
So Jack Daniels makes a form of Fireball, and I know a lot of younger kids, like to drink Fireball. Get the Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels Fire, Jack Daniels Red. Shit's so good. So
yeah,
I will literally
get... Dana White signed off on
it. I'll take a glass of that and a beer.
That's
and I'll,
crazy to
I'll
me.
Drink the beer and I'll sip on the Jack Daniels.
That's really crazy to me because I'm a guy that really can't drink. I'm a pussy. My stomach's real bad. I could really only do like a ginger ale vodka. If I had a Jack Daniels Fireball shot, I think I would throw up on the spot.
It's
like
so
one
good.
Sip. That's crazy. All right. So we got some fan questions. Fans sent in some questions. We could do lightning round for these. Scott Nolan wants to know when you're going to adopt me.
Adopt you?
Yeah.
You looking to be adopted?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed if you were looking. Listen. I won't put you on the spot now. If you would like to adopt me, I would be open to the idea.
All right. Sounds good.
Midnight Dreary says, do you ever regret letting Matt Riddle go? I thought that one was interesting. I hadn't heard, you know, you comment on Matt Riddle in a while. He's doing well for himself in the WWE now.
No, listen, I have no, I've heard interviews with Matt Riddle and, you know, he's very fired up about being let go and everything. But at that place and time where we were, It was the right move. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's been successful and he's doing well. You know, I don't wish the kid any ill will. I don't hate Matt Riddle or dislike Matt Riddle in any way. I know he feels the opposite, as he should. I don't wish him any ill will or anything like that. But no, I don't regret the decision that I made at that time.
Okay. Kevin Curry says, do you have an all-time favorite fight? Do you have one personally? It could be boxing, too. I know you're a long-time
boxing
fan.
I used to have a favorite fight, but there's been so many. I mean, we've been on a run of just ridiculous fights since Fox, you know? It's so hard to pick a favorite fight.
Do you have
now.
Like a couple you could mention, even from the past, from the early days, maybe?
I've always said it. You know, the Matt Hughes Frank Trigg 2 fight, because going into that fight when we told Hughes, you know, we're going to do this fight again. You know, he hates Trigg, right? Yeah. Hates Trigg with a passion. And going into that fight, he's like, this is such but this is the type of guy that Matt Hughes was. This is such a lose-lose for me. I'm never going to beat him more impressively than I did the first time. And I hate the guy, so, you know, but I'll do it. Let's do it. And what happens? He actually beats him more impressively than he did the first time.
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorite fights.
Personally, I go Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald, too, from UFC 189. Mm-hmm. That stare down at the end of round 4 where Robbie's spraying the blood out of his face, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
There's been so many fucking crazy fights. I mean, Henderson and Shogun I'm trying to think of some of the recent ones. You know,
I mean, Gastelum versus Adesanya.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about a guy that's on this card. Gastelum, you know, is returning against Darren Till.
Yep.
That fight was insane. That's, right now, I think, the fight of the year.
I agree.
Colin Mullaney wants to know, when can we expect to see Sean O'Malley?
Yeah, this kid's had some issues.
Seems like a string of bad luck with him.
Serious bad luck. So, from what I'm hearing, any time now, he should be on one of these cards before the end of the year.
Okay, awesome. I love to see that. He's one of my favorite prospects in the entire UFC. What's the most pissed off you've ever been as the president of the UFC? You get pink a lot when you get pissed off.
Yeah.
Steam starts firing out of those ears. There's been a lot of incidents. Jones, you know, getting that card canceled way back in the day. I mean, he's gotten a ton of cards canceled, if we're being honest here.
Yeah.
Connor with the dolly. There's Habib jumping over the cage. He really shouldn't have done that. Even Habib, did he tell you he was going to jump over the cage hug you?
Oh, hell no.
I thought he did because the way you were telling him, that guy's got to stay in the cage. I should really watch my mouth. I shouldn't say anything about Habib, but he should stay in a cage after the fight.
Well, we're lucky we weren't in Vegas for that one. So
yeah.
From here on out, we never talked about him jumping out of the cage because I never thought he would do it again after the...
Can you tell him no more?
Well,
that's because Robbie Fox told me to tell you no more.
It was okay in Abu Dhabi, but, you know, he can't do it. But people start freaking out and people start, you know, there was a little bit of panic setting around. You know, I'm glad he jumped out on my side because I calmed everybody down and said, stop, let this thing play out. And, you know, security was going crazy. And I need to talk to him about staying in the cage.
But the most pissed off you've ever been?
God, that's a tough one. I would have to say that the most pissed off I've been, Lene, how long have you been with the company now?
6 years.
6 years? I mean, you've never seen me crazy pissed off, right? I mean,
really?
Yeah. Everybody thinks that at work I'm some fucking lunatic and I'm running around slapping people around.
I don't assume that, but I assume when Jones is out doing Jones things, you're probably livid.
It was early days. I would have to say that nobody, because you have to look at the time and the place that we're in. You know, we're burning money. You don't know if this thing's going to keep going, and I believe in this thing, that this thing can work. And I would have to say that nobody's pissed me off more than Tito Ortiz and the shit that he pulled while he was here.
And we actually have a question about him. It was going to be my final question for you. Did you really think, and I know your answer to this, this is a fan question, did you really think that you would beat Tito Ortiz in a boxing match?
I knew it, and so did he. That's why it didn't happen. It wasn't
this is maybe my favorite, like, crazy tale in MMA history, that you and Tito almost had a boxing match. What? Like, how did that...
So Tito Ortiz was doing a new deal with us. And Tito and I hated each other so bad that Lorenzo handled that deal.
Okay.
So he and Lorenzo did this deal. And Lorenzo... So you know, Tito never had great hands.
Yeah.
Okay? So Tito had been working on his boxing. And I think that he was working with... what's his name? The Mexican kid that fought De La Hoya and... was big at that time with De La Hoya and him and God damn it, what was his
name?
I'm
not as big a boxing guy, so I'm losing you here.
Fernando Vargas.
Okay.
So Tito was training with Fernando Vargas. So Tito started to feel like his hands were getting in a good place and we hated each other. So he told Lorenzo, the last thing that I want in this deal is I want 3-round boxing match with Dana. 3 3-minute rounds boxing. Lorenzo called me and said, this is what I said. Yes. Sign, tell him, sign the deal.
There was no hesitation on your end. Like, this is a fucking UFC fighter, and I'm signing up to fight him right now.
This wasn't going to be the first time that Tito and I had boxed.
Oh, you had boxed Tito before?
Many times.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Listen.
Why were you boxing Tito Ortiz?
For whatever reason, Tito pulled that out of his ass for that to happen. As it started to get closer, and I was training, and, you know, I was, at the time, I was sparring with heavyweight pro boxers that were ranked.
Can you in drop
the top,
any names?
In the top 10. I was sparring with top 10 ranked heavyweights to get ready for that fight, right? I was in fucking ridiculous shape. I was ready, and I was going to whoop his ass in front of everybody. Now, let me make this very clear. If it was an MMA match, Tito would murder me.
Yeah.
Like, it would be fucking...
Definitely.
It would be the most horrific beating you've ever fucking seen in your life. He would double leg me, smash me against the fence.
It'd be like a Habib smash.
And put his fucking elbow... No, it'd be worse than that. Tito would literally put his fucking elbows through my skull, okay? Just so we're clear here.
Yeah.
In a boxing match, I was going to fuck him up and make him look stupid. And he knows that. And that's why that fight didn't happen.
Talk that shit, champ. I love it. I would love to see that boxing match happen today. I want that to happen right the fuck now.
I'm too fucking old for that now.
But I think Tito's too old for it, too. I think it'd be like grudge match. You know, that's it's Stallone and De Niro. They're like old men and they're fighting in the ring. It would be incredible. Dana, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the press conference tonight. Hey, I'm looking forward to Madison Square Garden in
if
November.
If there's one thing that we've learned over the last several years, there's nothing fun about old men fighting each other, okay?
You know what? Fact, yeah. Oscar De La Hoya, yeah, your friend, proved that.
Doesn't look good.
Yeah. Dana, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.